when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all of you precious Blood River Radio fans out there. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and you, like I said, you are listening to Blood River Radio. And I'd like to make a, I guess you'd call it an announcement. This is this program is being pre-recorded because, as I mentioned last week, I have to go to a wedding this next weekend. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at the wedding. It's my grandson's wedding, and I'm really emotional about that. But anyway, this is being recorded. Today is Wednesday, the 16th of October, in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. It's a Jesus Christ plus nothing. That's all you need, people. You don't need the tabernacle. You don't need a rabbi, a priest, a preacher. You don't need Jack. All you need is Jesus Christ Almighty. That's it. Like I said, this is a pre-recording. It will be played live on. It will be played. It won't be live. It will be played the regular schedule, October the 19th. And listen, I'll give you before I go any further. I'll let you know. As you people know, we always open with a prayer because this is a Christian radio show, if you will. So please bow your head, dear people. Almighty Father, I'd like to thank you so much for keeping Blood River Radio on the air all these years. I'd like to thank you for giving us the honor to do battle with the beast who hates you, who hates your son, who hates the people who love your son. I'd like to thank you for that, for giving us the courage and the wisdom to continue that battle. And I'd like to thank you for giving us the financial resources for doing that. Speaking of, and Lord, I'd just like to say one more thing. I would like to thank you so much for standing by the young man we're getting ready to have on this program just a second. And while I'll announce his name in just a minute, but I'd like to thank you for standing by him, giving him all the grace, the strength, giving him all the wisdom, giving him everything he had to have to make through a hellish stint in a hellish prison, Lord. Lord, I'd like to ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, also, we always announce our donors. We have a donor this week. His name is Lynn. Ken from Lynbrook, New York. And he has been with us steady. Matter of fact, he's so steady, refer to him as Big Ben. He's from Lynbrook, New York, and I'd like to thank him very much for that. Quick outline. Hour two, we're going to have our one and only Blood River Radio's precious little sister, Monica the Braveheart Schaefer. She'll be coming on riding shotgun with me in hour two. Hour three is going to be Monica Schaefer the Braveheart, along with the Bitter Ender himself, Gene Andrews. Matter of fact, if you think my voice is a little bit shaky, it is like an iceberg in this room. I hadn't been here but a few minutes, and it is cold here. It was 39 degrees last night in Memphis. And it must not be much warmer than that in this room right now. So during the break, I'll have to get me a jacket or something. Anyway, people, I'm going to tell you right now, before I bring our guest on, who is Jacob Goodwin. And we've got him. Our theme of this program this hour is Jacob Goodwin is a hero. He is not only a hero, he's a great hero from the Battle of Charlottesville. He's somebody that all of our young people should look after, should emulate, because he showed the courage of a lion, courage that is so extremely rare nowadays. As a matter of fact, such courage that we talk about is absent in what I call, what we used to think as we had a movement. I don't think we have a movement. I really don't, because we don't have enough people like Jacob Goodwin. With that, that's kind of the opening thing. We're going to bring our hero of the hour on right now. His name is Jacob Goodwin. He was a young man at the Battle of Charlottesville. With that, I'm going to bring him on right now to let him finish up the story. I can ask him questions, but I'd like to ask him before we start, the date of Charlottesville. That, by the way, by the date when we fought the Battle of Charlottesville, yours truly was also there. It was August of the 12th of year our Lord and Savior 2017, a day that will go down in really in infamy, folks. But we're going to bring Jacob on right now. And Jacob, how you doing, young man?
greetings, everyone. Greetings, brothers and sisters. I'm just kind of, you know, readjusting, trying to figure out how things work out here now, you know. I guess oxygen still tastes the same out here, so that's a plus, you know.
But,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Jacob.
No, I was just saying, you know, it's a learning experience. I still have to, I guess, you know, figure out which way is up. A lot of time has passed. But spiritually, I'm sound.
I'll tell you what, Jacob, I gave the date of the Battle of Charlottesville. I know you'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. No one there will ever forget what happened there. Never will ever forget that day. But let me ask you. I'll ask you just a few plain, forward, straightforward questions, because we don't want to antagonize Zog, who threw in that hellhole dungeon. So let me ask you this question, Jacob. Why did you even go to Charlottesville? When did you first hear about Charlottesville? You probably knew about it before I did. I went there as a field representative, a field reporter for Liberty News Radio. That's why I went there. And I heard about it kind of like a last minute thing. What did you hear about it? What was the narrative that you heard? Why were you going there? Et cetera, anything that comes to your mind, why you went there?
Well, I had heard about it from a couple networks. It kind of been boosted. I mean, it was a huge thing. Everyone was kind of following Jason Kessler, I think that's his name. Jason Kessler.
Right.
They were following his ongoing court case, and it started as something kind of small, and then it started kind of snowballing and getting bigger. And it became like a freedom of speech issue, where the city basically was just outright openly denying, you know, the rights of people who believe like us, people who believe in the Constitution, freedom of speech. It became an issue where these people basically could be judged during execution. And it was also an issue for me personally. I've had ancestors that fought in the Civil War and on the Confederate side, but for me, it wasn't just that the statues of, you know, Nathan Bedford Forrest and Robert E. Lee, they were also defacing the Lincoln Monument. They were defacing other monuments too that were unrelated. So I saw, as most people who are ethnocentric, I saw it as an attack on our ancestry as a whole, as a cultural, to deface the monuments of basically our ancestors because who we are ethnically. So, you know, I understand the war was very divisive, and it was, I obviously believe in the cause of the Confederacy, but, it's part of our history, and the big picture is not that they're attacking Confederate history, it's that they're attacking ethnic European history as a whole.
Yes.
So I went there to defend it, for those two reasons, is that it was another part of our ethnic European history that was under attack, And it was also, you know, part of what my ancestors protected in. And I just don't believe in you know, defacing monuments and destroying things for what? Because it makes someone feel uncomfortable. So it was being boosted in a bunch of circles, and I knew that it was very big. And so that was really the big three things for me, is that it was an assault on our identity. It was an assault on our freedom of speech, because it became an issue that, you know, even the judge, I don't know if it's a judge, I forget, it's been a while now. There were two judges. One judge said no, and then another judge, apparently, said, well, you can't do that, and basically overruled it. And that's how they got the permit in the first place. And so it was basically those three issues for me, is that it was freedom of speech issue, an identity issue, and then, you know, the fact that it was also a Confederate monument in my ancestors fought in that war.
You know, I kept in touch with your mother pretty close, and your dad too. They were on the program several times while you were locked up. And people, I'd like to remind you, this young man put his life on the line, and he still is. Keep in mind, before we're going to a break, this man is on parole, and he's taking a chance on thumping the nose of Zog, even as he's on this radio program. So please honor this man. Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to say once again, this man, this great hero, great young man, he was only 22 years old when he got arrested. Here's the thing. He went to Charlottesville. You heard him say why. In case you're just tuning in, you can go to the archives and listen to why he went there. He went there to defend not only just the Confederate ancestors, not only just our great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. He went there to defend free speech of us right now in real time. And I'd like to keep in mind, he paid the price. He went there knowing that it was a great risk. Once we found out, we all knew that there was going to be risk. I heard that it was going to be really a hellacious battle, and it was. It turned out to be really bad, a really rough battle. But I don't think any of us that survived. I think we all feel great pride that we went there. And listen, he went there doing what one out of 500 men would do. As a matter of fact, I don't want to take up too much time, but I have lost so much respect for so many so-called patriots in this damn movement. I really have. And not only did Jacob go there knowing that, he did 7 years of his life in the damn Zog penitentiary because he tried to stand up for you people that are listening to this radio broadcast right now. A lot of people are too damn coward to even speak up, to even use their name or anything. But if people do send in money of this, if they want to talk to you in private and say, this is how I feel, this is how I feel, you are so right, but please, God, whatever you do, please, God, don't ever use my name because I got this to lose, I got that to lose. You know, I have the great house, I got a beautiful house, kids, dog, and I just can't lose that. This man, not only did he do that, he's still coming on the radio right now, and we're going to have to there's a lot of questions I'd like to ask him that I can't because Zog is sitting there waiting to pounce on him. One little violation of his parole. This man is on parole. He's still sticking his neck out there for these coward sons of bitches. And I'm going to name some on November the 9th when I go do a speech for the League of the South. I'll probably come back with no friends left. But anyway, I don't want to get too emotional. But anyway, Jacob, God bless you, son. Now, we went over that. Now, when did you when you went to Charlottesville? Briefly describe, just a few minutes, what you saw at Charlottesville. Then I want to ask you, after we do that, I want to ask you how Zog came and raided your house and the kind of treatment they gave you when they came from an out of state to raid you, just like we were in North Korea or someplace.
Right.
Briefly, what did you see in Charlottesville, Jacob?
Well, I mean, I guess if you were there, you saw it yourself. But the big picture for me was that the fact that the counter protesters were not in the area they were supposed to be in, and they were already waiting whenever the people who had the, you know, the legal permit to go there. Well, when the, you know, the people who had the permit, Jason Kessler's permit, when he got there, they were already waiting on us. So they had a permit apparently, but it was like for blocks and blocks down the street. And so the fact that police didn't even like keep the protesters separate was kind of a big red flag. And so obviously, you know, bedlam ensued. There was a lot of just really chaos, and there was a little bit of organization and there wasn't organization. And it's just like you had like these other groups going around, like the Oath Keepers and stuff. And it's like, what are they doing? Like, it's just, it was a little bizarre. All the things that were going on, and just to see that there were so many different people and so many different agents kind of doing their own thing, especially on the counter protester side. But it was definitely an interesting experience. And like when you read, I don't know if you've read the EFI report and all those things about it, it kind of exposes a lot of like the infrastructure and the corruption, the police, you know.
You're right. And you know, the government hired the fellow, the attorney, to do that HIFI report. And I'll make this real quick because time is money. Time is, it's so precious. He indicted the government, the governor, the mayor, the police chief. He said they all screwed up. They were the ones to blame for the riot that got out of control. And yet, so what they did, what the judge did, he declared that as inadmissible as evidence. Of course, since it pointed to the government and the apparatus and pointed to Zog as being the villains.
The left is there, at least. That's one good thing. Is like they, for a while, they were pushing that narrative. They were like, you know, they were trying to tell the governor and all those things that the blood's on your hands, and they were, you know, pushing back on them, which I thought was really interesting because, you know, but these, you have this concept, this odd concept that there's some sort of revolutionaries and that they're not status quo, but it's like they couldn't be more boot boys for the state. Like they are, but they think they're like Robin Hood or something. These are these fringe characters, and they're really just very status quo. But it was interesting that none of us could use the Heathrow report or anything like that in our trial. Like it's, because, like you said, like the city refused to acknowledge its role and that it dropped the ball. And so, I mean, strangely, you agree with the left on that one.
Yes. You know, let me ask you this now, kind of moving on. When did you find out that you were going to be extradited to Virginia to go on trial, was it the first time you knew when the Zog agents, the police, came busting down your door? When did you first find out about that, Jacob?
Well, it was it was then, you know, it was when they came and picked me up. I kind of never had a criminal record in my life. I've never, I've never so much as jaywalked. I had a clean record, never did drugs. It was so having an encounter with law enforcement like that, I kind of was like, well, what's going on? How does this work? And when I got to the jail, I was in the jail for like 8 hours, chained to the bench. They took me back to my cell, and then I had to like get on the phone and kind of ask, well, what happens next now? Like, and I forget exactly how.
Jacob, was this a jail in Arkansas? Did they take you initially to a jail?
Yeah.
Was it county? Was it county sheriffs? Was it state police?
It was a county jail. It was a county jail.
The Arkansas, this county in Arkansas, the sheriff of that, the deputies of that county in Arkansas, they're the ones that...
These were U.S. Marshals. U.S. Marshals came and
got me.
And so they had, like, plate carriers, and there was about 8 of them. I don't really know how many there were, but they drove a couple SUVs. And they were not... too hostile, but they were very stoic, obviously. That's what they're trained to do, is to be stoic. And when I was driving with them and I talked to the U.S. Marshals, we were in the vehicle, and they kind of were like, you know, well, what's going on? Like, it's just, you don't seem like that type of guy. And I'm like, why not? I don't know what you guys, you know, expected to find out here, but... And you could kind of tell they were like, wow, this guy he's not what we were expecting. And so, but you know, that's how the government gets them to pull the trigger. They have this preconceived notion of a quote unquote, like, you know, I'm not even going to use the word, but there's a word they brand us that any of these guys who have been hyped up on testosterone and they've went through basic training and 4th century override, all you have to do is say, well, you know, that guy is this, and they'll go on there and waste them because they're protecting freedom, right? They're protecting liberty. So they were very kind of stoic, but you could tell they were more of our kindred souls. They had some obviously miss
Jacob, we have to go to a quick break. Well, this is going to be kind of Jacob, if you have to use the bathroom, get water, you kind of, this is a long break, it's about 5 minutes, so people go ahead and get your use the bathroom, whatever you need. It's gonna be a 5 minute break. Be right back, folks.
Daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Group is not a law firm. If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333. 800-885-3333.
As we head toward next month's presidential election, new survey results show most voters answer no to Ronald Reagan's famous question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 40% of likely U.S. voters say they are better off than they were 4 years ago, while 56% say they're not better off. The survey of 1,050 U.S. likely voters was conducted October 1st to the 3rd by Rasmussen Reports. The margin of sampling error was plus or minus 2 percentage points with a 95% level of confidence.
That's correspondent Bernie Bennett. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is being criticized for buying a multi-million dollar waterfront home during a national housing crisis with federal elections only months away. It came as many Australians are struggling to buy their own home or to rent due to elevated interest rates, rising prices, and limited supply. News and analysis at townhall.com. The coffers have run dry at a government agency that offers disaster loan assistance.
The Small Business Administration has run out of money for its disaster assistance loans, delaying much-needed relief for people applying for aid in the wake of the destruction caused by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. The SBA offers economic injury disaster loans to businesses and people affected by disasters. Congress can approve more funds, but Congress does not reconvene until November 12th. The SBA is pausing new loan offers until it gets more funding, but urges people to keep applying for the loans in the meantime. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Tech giants Amazon and Google are investing in the next generation of nuclear reactors. Both companies are seeking new sources of carbon-free electricity to meet increasing demand from data centers and AI. More at townhall.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to Jacob. We were talking during the break. Jacob said that the federal marshals came to arrest him. I don't know how that works. So evidently, I don't know if there was a federal charge against him or if the anytime they have to be indicted, if you have to be extradited from this case, from Arkansas to Virginia. Jacob, why did they have to use federal marshals? Now, and this, I'll make this real quick because I don't want to take up too much time on nitpicky details. Evidently, there was a federal charges against you for like a federal hate crime or something, or did they just use the federal marshals because Virginia police were not allowed to come to Arkansas? How did that work?
Now, that's a good question also. I don't really know, but I think that's probably what it is, something like that, because I was pretty surprised that it said U.S. Marshals, and I'm like, well, what are they? But I think that's some sort of procedure, like state police can't enter another state or some sort of, you know, policy or you know. But anyways, I think that's probably what it was. I was surprised myself. I thought it would be at least the local police department would come, you know, like, hey, we have a warrant for a guy in your state or whatever. You need to go and get him. The fact that they brought him to jail and then they flew me out
Well, what was that one more time, Jacob?
I said the fact they brought me to jail, and then, you know, a detective had come from the city to come and get me personally on a plane.
Oh, okay. A detective came to put you on
a plane. A detective came and got me. Two detectives.
Okay. Okay, Derek. Well, now, just briefly, if you can, describe the trial, if you can. Now, keep in mind now, I'm going to let our listeners know, we have to kind of walk a tightrope here because we have to be careful what we say, because we cannot get Jacob in, we can't get him crossways with Zog, because I know they watch every move he makes, and they're just hoping and praying that he will make one little mistake where they can put him back into the gulag. So briefly, if you can, once you got to the trial, how did it go? I assume you knew right off the bat that it didn't take you long to realize that it was going to be you should have had your kangaroo suit on. So go ahead, Jacob.
Oh, absolutely. So I went before a lower court judge, and he was openly hostile. Just if you could just read his body language and his rhetoric, you realize right then, oh man, like this is not, he, excuse me, he was openly against being fair. So we used an appeal to get it moved to a higher court. And so when we got moved to a higher court, then we got another judge, and he was more, he was more subtle with his bias, but he was, I mean, just as biased. It was ironic. I don't know if he was playing Angry Birds during the whole trial under the bench and just like, wasn't paying attention, but he made a few comments at the end that were pretty, we sat there for 2 days and I described, you know, my experience, and then like right before he sentences me, he asked a bunch of questions like, well, I don't understand what this was about. And I'm just looking at the guy and I'm like, I literally explained all that in the last 2 days. How are you asking a question like that? You know, like that, like how do you have that rationale when I literally explained to you what was going on? He just showed me that he wasn't paying attention. He already had his mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. He didn't give a damn what had been said because, you know what, you could have said what Jesus Christ walked on water to take you over there. It wouldn't have made a damn to him because he, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I've been nothing like you, but, you know, I've had my battles with the IRS, and it's just a clown show to even go to court. I don't know why he even showed up to court because their mind was made up 5 years before the incident even happened. But so once you were convicted, how long did you go? Did they take you from the courtroom immediately to prison, Jacob, or would you go to another holding?
Well, no, we were in the jail, the city jail, and we've been back there for about a year. Yeah, they kept us in basically a hole that was designed for like punishment, but they had left the doors open, so instead of us being stuck in the cell 24 hours a day, we had a little walkway, but it was very small. You know, the city could have been worse. I would say there were a few people, like the people who were in charge, they were openly not for us. But there were a few people there that were more GOP conservative types that worked there. And there was a lot of sentiment for us there because they even told us, like they were like, well, you guys are probably the most well-behaved. You guys, we don't have to worry about you. We don't have to watch you guys. Like, we understand you guys are not criminals. We understand you guys are not degenerates. You just, you know, like, so when we came back and we started telling the police or the verdicts, their jaws dropped. They're like, what? And I remember one guy, he's like, they gave you how much? He just shook his head. He said, that's too much time. Why would they do that? And I looked at him. I said, you know why. And he took me back to my cell. And so we had a lot of sentiment there amongst the officers. It was even the ones that were transporting us. Whenever there was a woman, I'll never forget it. She took me down to the holding cell, and I was sitting there. And she came and she said, they had a verdict. And I said, oh, wow. And I said, was that fast? And she looked at me and she said, yeah, that was pretty fast. And so they brought me up there for something. And then we came back. They brought me back down there because they needed to deliberate something else. So I was in the courtroom, and they brought me down to this holding cell that was, like, downstairs. So I'd like to walk all the way downstairs, get back in the cell, come back into the courtroom, go back down to the cell. So I'm trying to remember, I think there was like a period of time between when they gave the verdict. Oh yeah, so they gave the verdict and then they brought me back downstairs and then they brought me back upstairs because they wanted to ask the question before they had a recommended sentence. That's how it worked. So when I went downstairs, this woman who, she was always very nice to me. She seemed like a decent person. And she was crying. She was very teared up. As you could tell, her voice was shaking. She knew.
That's not good.
She knew what was happening. And it's like at least she felt helpless as I did, you know. Like, she felt helpless because she couldn't help me. I really felt helpless, you know. So, and these are the very people that are supposed to, you know, believe in this system that they work for. And I also remember this sergeant. He'd been in the police force for a very long time. He would take us back and forth from court. And the thing I remember, he had a very, like, German name, but he had the most, like, cool, icy blue eyes. He had very, 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 like, deep blue eyes. And when you were around him, you could tell he was just like a military man, but he seemed like he believed he was kind of an honorable character. And so he was always telling me when we go back and forth to court, he's like, man, you got nothing to worry about. I've seen worse fights on the side of a street at a bar down here. That was nothing. Don't worry about it. You're going to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they gave you a year. And so when that happened, he was also shut mouth. He was like, wow. But that was just the sentiment of the police officers in the courtroom. But back at the jail, we also had a lot of sentiment. There were certain people that wanted to make our confines probably worse. A certain woman, but most of the men and most of the people, they were not hostile towards us.
So it came, the vitriol, the poison, pretty much came from higher up, from the people who were in charge. And I would just say, we know who's in charge, and we'll revisit that statement along with a few other questions when we come back from this break. This will be our final break to the first hour. You're speaking with Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're interviewing Jacob Goodwin, the great hero from Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this really is, I don't know if you call it emotional. I don't know what the proper term would be. But just in case you're just tuning in, we have Jacob Goodwin. He's still a young man, but he was much younger when he was went to prison 7 years ago. For what basically just probably just living, breathing air while being a white Southerner, a patriot, someone who's proud of his country, proud of his family, proud of his race, proud of his Christianity, and just trying to come up and at least defend it in the most peaceful way. They went up there with the most peaceful conditions and to most peaceful intentions, totally unarmed. They just thought they were going to go up there and exercise, they being Jacob Goodwin and a lot of other people, thought that we still lived in a country where you have your First Amendment rights, where you have freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, to air out your grievances in a peaceful way. But they found out that that's not the case. And when we, that was a wake up.
Memo. It didn't come across my desk.
No, go on. You know, it's what it is. It's over in Arkansas because you only got two bars on your computer there. The message probably
didn't
get back.
We're still antiquated. We're still back in the 1800s over here.
Yes. Well, you know, Jake, if you mentioned that most of the people, you made it clear they were, that they were the guards, I guess the people that brought you to and from the court back to your jail cell while you're in the city of Charlottesville, they all were impressed with your character, as I have been, as if everyone I know has been around you. A very highly intelligent man, a very well-read man, a peaceful man, a man of impeccable character. And I'm not being dramatic about that. That's true. It really is true. I know I've been knowing the man through his parents and other people for 7 years, ever since he was arrested. But Jacob, just to repeat, all the people, except for the very top people that were in charge of this court, they thought, well, this is a no-brainer. He's going to walk. He's done nothing. Absolutely, have done nothing whatsoever. So, when you found out that nothing mattered except they were going to get you, they being the people at the top of the system in this judicial system, when you found out you were convicted, did that, it was probably too, you're probably in shock, but later on, did that give you a clue that the vast majority of people really don't know, they don't realize that there's a click of interlopers, of foreigners that are in charge of the judicial system. And two-part question. And did you think your conviction, instead of being a conviction of just conviction to convict someone like you and others, and by the way, before we forget, if you want to, if you can, I'd like to mention, if you may not be allowed to, some of the other people that you did time with, some of them I used to know, a few of them I forgot, but do you think that could have been your conviction was a signal to other people in the world that might be contemplating going to a similar event, even though they have peaceful intentions? For instance, we had a great rally here years ago at a place called Forest Park. We had General Nathan Bedford Forrest was buried here in Memphis along with his wife and his son. And we had a huge rally. People came from all over the country, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Kentucky. It was peaceful. Do you think your conviction could be a signal from the powers that be, a.k.a. Zog, to telling those people, hey, you better think twice about doing anything to speak against us being the system? Am I reading too much into it, Jacob?
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. I don't forgot the first part of the question, to be honest with you, because I remember the second part.
Well, just the second part, because I'm old. I'm 77 years old. I forgot where I am sometimes.
And you're running laps around me. You didn't tell me you was going to look this bad on air, man.
You're doing great, man. You're doing great.
So, I mean, that's absolutely right. They wanted to drop the guillotine on us, and they wanted to show that look what's going to happen to you. You're going to get the same thing if you come out here and you try to exercise your rights, because they are very hostile towards anything ethnocentric in this world, especially our country. And I've been around many people from many walks of life amongst our folk, and they all have the same spirit, and they all have the same hesitations about the trends of society today and the way that our country is going, the way that our lives are going. What I found that most of them, like you said earlier, they're scared of death to lose that that little four-wheeler or a fishing boat or whatever their trinket is. And they're showing that was the system basically showing that if you stand up, we got all the power in the world. We have an endless amount of might to knock you back down, put you back on your knees. Don't ever think that you can stand up to us. And the thing was, is that I, like you mentioned, I believe that we live in a country where the Constitution matters, and that, you know, I worked two jobs. I paid my taxes. I never drank. I've never smoked. Well, I've drank. I mean, that's a lie. But I wasn't a drunk. I've never smoked cigarettes. I've never done any illicit drugs. So I was just a hardworking, decent, you know, white middle-class man, a really lower middle-class man. Because middle class now, if you're middle class, you're doing something special. So my middle class knows probably somebody's a homeless shelter. So
I'm there myself, brother.
Yeah, so I'm just so unmaterialistic. My middle class is different than most people's. But
yes,
I thought that all that would matter. And even in the courtroom, I thought that, well, someone in there would say, look at this guy. This guy is not a degenerate. He's got all his teeth. Like, he's got, you know, he's like, he seems intelligent. And then we have, you know, the other, and we're like, okay, well, what's the comparison here? You know, and it was very surprising to me that the truth had no merit, period. But now I understand. It's okay, you guys got me. And now, really, I am a symbol of what the state has in store for all of us.
Bingo.
And that's exactly what it is. And it's like, well, that's one thing I wanted to say too, is people asking me that a lot. Like, how was it that day? How was it, you know, you stood up for us that day, and that's awesome. And I sit there and I think about it, and I'm like, this person is really trying to like empathize, and this person is really trying to give me support. And I love that. I love their intentions. But I've been in Seville that day for the last 7 years. For the last 7 years, I've been fighting. I lived my life under siege. So I went there, and then I came home, and I thought that, okay, that's over with. I exercised my rights. The police dropped the ball. They let a riot happen. It's on them. Well, then that's when the real struggle actually started, and I've been doing that IRL activism for the last 7 years of my life. When I woke up, when I was surrounded by hostiles who didn't like me, and they knew while I was in prison, and I had to, you know, I had to literally be hypervigilant in a predatory culture for 7 years of my life. And I had to struggle on every level, on a physical level, on a mental, emotional level, and on a spiritual level. So it was a 365-day-a-year struggle. And now that I'm out of prison, I kind of believe that it was like, okay, it's over. Like, oh, finally. I've been waiting for so long for this to be over. Then I got out of prison, and now I have, like, all these bills, and I have all these, like, I was trying to apply for like, assistance in housing, and they're like, oh, you're a violent felon? There's no way we can help you. I'm like, wait, what? And then they were like, well, we do a case-by-case basis, so we can maybe do an interview. And I'm thinking, I can't wait to see their response when they look up my case. I got to see this. Can I be there? Can I see your face?
So, well, I'll tell you what, we'll have to get you on another program. We're about to run out of time. Before we run out of time, and I want to talk, of course, you have my number. Call me anytime. I'll have your number. I'll have your mother's and parents' number. Two quick questions real quick. Was this a signal also to the people who still think that we have, quote, states' rights? Was what happened to you, what happened to the other people in Charlottesville, was that, do you think that's going to bust their bubble of disillusionment? Well, you don't have to answer that question because there's a couple other questions. And are you bitter towards we the people, because we the people failed you, including yours truly? No one came to your help. Once you were, and everybody and his mama, everybody knew that you were railroaded into prison. Are you bitter because help was not more forthcoming from your white kindred, Jacob? I would be. How about you, brother?
I can't say that I am, man. Like, I received support. I received letters for years, and I have to kind of detract and be a little more empathetic and say, well, I'm sure there's people out there that want, you know, to help, but there's so much going on, and we're so taxed as a people. So,
well, thank you so much, Jason. We have run completely out of time for this hour.
Right.
Jacob, I will be calling you very soon, and you can do the same for me. Tell your mom and dad that I said hello. People, you heard it. We're the first media in the country to bring Jacob Goodwin on. Be right back, folks. That's this way. We're going to pick up my baby sister, Monica Schaefer.